Do note that the views expressed in Taking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Taking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through. Today we'll hear Herman Duplessis, an ordained pastor who holds degrees in commerce, education, theology, a master's in adult education, has international certification in leadership and management coaching, and is the founder and director of Temba Tandeka Leadership Institute, a company that has a global reputation of being a catalyst that significantly raises engagement and profitability. Here's Herman in part four of Leadership the Jesus Way.
Hi everyone, my name is Herman Duplessis, and I'm the author of the book Lead with Intent. And today I want to talk to you about how we approach leadership the Jesus way. And we're doing this over five short sessions. Today is our fourth session. Our focus will be on two principles and practices of intentional servant leaders. Now, I hate to repeat myself, but I just want to remind us that servant leadership is the only form of leadership. If it is not servant leadership, it simply is not leadership. And that has been proven by academic research. So today, two principles and practices of these servant leaders. The first principle is to rehumanize. Very important. Rehumanize. I remember many years ago, a good friend of mine by the name of Alex McManus, who's also a leadership thinker in America, I invited him to South Africa and we did a conference together at a university. And I remember him speaking to us, and we had just returned from a game reserve. So we treated our guest here in South Africa to a visit to a game reserve, and then we did the conference after that. And I remember at the conference, he asked us this question: what must a giraffe do to not be a giraffe? And we all were very puzzled. I mean, what on earth does he mean by that? And he repeated himself. He said, what must a giraffe do to not be a giraffe? In other words, how does a giraffe become an in-giraffe? And we just couldn't give him an answer. And then he said that we as humans are the only species in the world that actually have a term that describes us when we act unlike our own species. So we as humans act inhumane. And we act inhumane by dehumanizing people. I mean, that's what Hitler did during the Second World War with the Jewish people. He started putting pictures up of Jews with long noses, rat tails. He portrayed them as rats. He dehumanized Jewish people so that when the Germans looked at the Jews, they didn't see them as humans anymore. And that was a legitimate reason for them to act in an inhumane way. Now, as leaders today, whether it's at work, church, nonprofit, schools, we need to treat people not as resources to produce results or profits, but we have to treat humans as human beings. The best leaders I work with do this through two practices. And these practices are empathy and listening. Jesus always sees people in need. Luke 15, verse 1, in some translations, it says the following: the lepers, the tax collectors, the sinners had a habit of coming to listen to Jesus. Now, just think about that. They had a habit. Now, these were the people who had no standing in human society at that time. You're talking about lepers, fishermen, kids, prostitutes, everybody. Jesus rehumanized them. They had a habit to come and listen to Jesus. Jesus has empathy, and he always asks questions. I mean, that was fascinating. If you look at the story in John chapter 8, the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, what happens? Well, it's very simple. They bring her out to be stoned, and they ask Jesus to condemn her. And then he says, let the first one who is without sin throw the first stone. And all the stones get dropped. Now, what's fascinating is Jesus looks up, he sees the woman, and he says to her, have they not condemned you? He's curious. He's always asking questions. When Jesus meets a blind man, he asks the blind man, what do you want me to do? Jesus keeps his curiosity alive. You see, this is what great leaders do. The only way to rehumanize the work environment, to rehumanize people, is by being curious, being interested in people. I mean, I know of many marriages that end because people lose interest. They lose their curiosity. It's interesting, at the age of 3, your curiosity is 100%. And for those of us who have 3-year-olds in the house, you would know. For those of you who have had kids, you would know that kids are curious. And they constantly ask questions because they do want to know. Kids are interested, very much so. At the age of 23, your curiosity drops to 5%. So between the ages of 3 and 23, you lose 95% of your natural curiosity. That's why couples who have been married for decades actually say, I don't know who my husband is, because you've lost interest. I don't know who my wife is. I don't know who my kids are anymore. It's because you have lost interest. You have lost your curiosity. One of the biggest challenges for us as adults is to keep our curiosity. Servant leaders stay curious. They listen. They show empathy. They are interested. And they do not label people and put them into categories, because that is when you dehumanize people. No, what you do is you stay curious and you stay interested. So that's our first principle for today. The principle of rehumanizing people and the workplace environment. We do that through empathy and listening. And then the impact on your culture in your organization will be loyalty and community. People will want to stay around. They will want to hang around. They will want to most probably be a part of an organization where they are treated as human beings. They will want to be a part of that community. Now, many churches struggle to create community. And I think it's because we don't treat people like humans at church. I think if we do that, people will build community in your congregation. Our second principle that I want to discuss today is the principle of psychological safety. We practice psychological safety by openness, and then the impact on your culture will be transparency and truth. So what is psychological safety? Well, the best leaders I work with do not shoot the messenger if they do not like the message. How many of us do that? You know, that happened in biblical times. If somebody came from the war fields with bad news that we've lost, they actually kill the messenger if they don't like the message. And that's where we get the saying from. And I think it's very important to not do that as a leader. If somebody tells you you don't want to hear, you actually need to thank them. You need to be open enough so that people know they have the permission to tell you the truth. If you work in any organization you will notice that the higher you move up in an organization, the less truth you hear. And the reason for that is quite simple, is because we tell our leaders what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. But if I live this principle of psychological safety and I'm open as a leader, what happens? People know they can tell me the truth. And if they do that, we'll have transparency and truth, and I will know what really happens in my organization. So often the truth is obvious, but nobody speaks about it because we all fear the consequences. There is an interpersonal risk if they speak up. If I know that I will be punished if I speak up, I would rather keep quiet. So intentional servant leaders create this culture of openness. We see in John chapter 4 that Jesus creates a safe place for the woman at the well, and he allows her to challenge him. And he keeps asking questions, not condemning her. He's trying to get to the truth. She shares the truth of her life with him, and she changes her entire life in radical ways. She goes back into town, testifies about it. People come out, listen to Jesus, and they all get saved. This is what servant leaders do. They are open, and then they create this culture of truth and transparency. So, how do you do as a servant leader? Do you rehumanize the workplace through empathy and listening so that you can build loyalty and community? Do you build psychological safety through openness so that you can have a culture of transparency and truth? Well, that is what servant leaders do. That is the example of Jesus, and that's why he was the most effective leader to ever live. To learn more about intentional leadership, you're welcome to visit leadwithintent.co.za. You can buy the book at Kum Bookstores, in-store or online in their online bookstore. If you want to buy bulk or you want to order directly from me, you're welcome to do that at herman@ttli.co.za. You can also download the Bible study that are in line with the principles of the book on the YouVersion Bible app. So if you go into the YouVersion Bible app and you click on Bible plans, and you'd search for Lead with Intent, you will find the Bible study there. Well, I think that's enough for today. Until next time, take care.
That was Herman du Plessis in part 4 of Leadership the Jesus Way. To contact Herman or to obtain a copy of his book, Lead with Intent, send an email to hermann@ttli.co.za. To replay this episode of Thinking It Through, visit our podcast channel via the GNCR app or on the web at iono.fm/c/7407. Don't miss the conclusion to this talk tomorrow, same time, here on GNCR.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.